Everyone, this is Jason Lindsay speaking of Pod Stallions. Welcome, everyone. Across the pond, well, not the pond, but the border, is my good friend Brian Heiler.
There's probably a pond between us, at least one.
Yeah, there's probably a couple of ponds. Yeah,
there's some great lakes.
Over a couple of ponds. And we're taking some time out of our crazy lives to be with you people. We love you so much.
Yeah, and I really appreciate all the nice things people have said about getting more episodes, and
we do
apologize.
It
is like we pissed off a gypsy, and that gypsy works at Best Buy apparently, because we couldn't even when we could find the time to record, something would go terribly wrong. And I should show the dedication. I think I sent you a photo of it. I drilled a hole in my ceiling. And just to get cable down here so that I could get a stronger Wi-Fi signal.
We have tried to make this happen several times. And keep in mind, I am not tech savvy. I think Brian is like, you know, Bill Gates compared to me. But we have tried several times. But now what we're going to do today is we're going to record one of our little mini-sodes. As well as our long-admired and often imitated Best of the Year list, because looking at my watch, it's getting to be the end of the year.
Yeah, and by the time I put it all together, we'll be launching that one in January.
So it'll be 2017.
It'll be 2017.
So we're gonna start this little recording session with a really fun topic, I think, that Brian came up with. And just a nice little tidbit of a shortened episode for us is cringeworthy / kind of embarrassing moments in our geek past. We've all had these moments where, you know, maybe we didn't want someone to know we were watching a certain thing and they found out, or you're the only guy in the schoolyard that's, you know, carrying this particular magazine or whatever, and it falls out of your bag. We've all had those moments those little coming of age moments, I think, that define us in many ways and may lose us friends at the same time. But so that's what this little episode's about, this little mini-sode. And because I'm perfect and, you know, have always been cool, it's been hard for me to think of these sorts of moments. But I know Brian's got a ton.
Oh, yeah. I could fill a day.
You could fill a day. I mean, they're there. I know. I'm kidding. I know I've got a million of them. I'm just having trouble thinking stuff that sort of springs to mind. But I might have one. But let's start with Brian. I know you've been wanting to do this Minnesota for a while. So let's start with you, sir.
Yeah, like I used to, on the blog, I used to write these as nerd therapy sessions many moons ago. And I used to really enjoy writing them. And then I just kind of, something took a bump in my life and I didn't get back to it. So I thought it'd be fun to tell some of them instead. You know, I'm going to specifically hone in on embarrassing stories for this one, and specifically when you're most embarrassed, which would be my first couple years of high school. You know, because once I got off into senior years, and especially in college, I didn't give a shit what people thought of me anymore. But when you do care, that's when it's funny. And it's awkward, and they're kind of cringeworthy. So the first one, I've relayed this one on the blog before, but I think you'd find this funny. I think I've told you this, but I played Doctor Who in a community access television program once.
Yes, you did tell me that.
We were doing I was in a drama group. I thought I wanted to be an actor, and I took a drama group, and this lady was connected with the local television station, and she said, "We're going to do a commercial for the library where all the literary characters come to life, so you have to dress as a different literary character." And I thought, I'll be Doctor Who. You know, I was a huge Doctor Who fan. This is probably the 7th or the 8th grade. And
he's a literary character. That works.
It worked. And well, one girl came as a hooker. I remember that. And I remember thinking,
what?
Yeah, that was her costume.
What, with Breakfast at Tiffany's?
I have no idea what she was thinking, but they used her in the commercial. I saw it once. I never saw it again. But my grandmother made me a Tom Baker scarf. She knitted me this, like, 8-foot long scarf. And we filmed the thing, and I got a lot of praise for the outfit because I had the hat, I had the trench coat. You know, it was as good as it was going to get in 1982. I don't even remember what year this was.
Mm-hmm.
So I got kind of like incensed, and it was cold. I wore that damn scarf to school.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty bold.
Yeah, and well, as it turned out, pretty dumb. None of my, like, in, you know, I was my grade. Nobody said anything to me. Like, you know, a couple people ribbed me about it, but they kind of got it. A couple of my friends liked Doctor Who. It was nothing. Mm-hmm. I didn't get, you know, but what happened was I hung the thing up. And you know how, like, older grades have different periods than younger grades? Well, I guess some of the younger grades, this one mouthy kid swiped it. And, you know, I'm sitting in class, and my buddy's looking out the window going, hey, man, you may want to look out here. And they're playing tug of war with it.
So, oh, my God.
I go outside. I grab it. I push the kid down, like the mouthy little bugger who took it. And he mouths me off, and I grab it. And I just remember thinking, I should have never done this. What's really funny is you flash forward 11 or 12 years, and I'm in college, and I've rented a house with a guy, and he's from my hometown, and he's vaguely familiar to me. Well, he invites his kid brother over one day, and his kid brother's maybe 11 or 12, and I'm sitting there going, you're the little shit who, wait, no, that's impossible. And I realized that I was living with the little shit who took the scarf.
What?
Yeah. Like, it never
really—it
never dawned on me until I saw his little brother, and his little brother was a spinning image of him when he was 11 or 12.
And when he was 12, did you tell him?
No, I never bothered to mention that to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. See,
and,
now that,
and see, I that? Will. I just want to point out that as much as I still like look back in that fondness, he was the worst roommate ever.
Well, yeah, clearly. See, the thing is, like, I'm sorry, you know, you really kind of telegraph to the world what the kind of person you're going to be in junior high. If you're a dick in junior high, you're probably going to be a dick when you grow up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, just kind of how it was. It just, that's it. Like, you know, you hit a certain age and it's like, no, there's no hope for that guy. He's going to be a jerk. You know, that's it. See, I was thinking more along the lines of things like, I remember one where I was at, I think Rosedale Mall, in St. Paul, Minnesota, in Roseville. And, you know, I grew up around a shopping mall called Maplewood Mall, and that was a big shopping mall, you know, in the 70s, early 80s kind of thing. But Rosedale was like, ooh, wow, we're good. I mean, forget going to Southdale, which was like Minneapolis. That's never going to happen. That's like living on the moon. But going to Rosedale, that was a good Saturday. And I was at the age where, you know, I think I'd been there a couple of times riding the bus with a couple of buddies. But, you know, if my mom had to do some shopping on a Saturday or Sunday, you know, I would go with. But I was kind of at that age where we sort of split up at the entrance.
Yeah.
You know, this is free cell phones, but it's like, okay, Ma, so here's what we'll do. You know, we'll start here, and at 3 o'clock, I'll meet you back at the fountain, and then if you want to grab a bite, it's almost just like, but just kind of let me do my thing. And
let me pretend I got here on my own.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I can imagine most parents go through this, but it's like that age where suddenly you want to be independent, and you think if a girl, especially, sees me walking around the mall
with my mommy,
that yeah. It's just a stupid thing. I mean, not that anybody would necessarily think that, but anyway, so there I am being cool, doing my own thing, hitting the stores I want to hit, and one of the stores
the
I always hit
store?
Was Beat Alton.
Yeah.
The knitting store, the cookie factory, Wicks and Sticks.
Singer Sewing Center.
But we there was a Beat Alton and a Walden Books in this shopping mall, and the Beat Alton, I usually had better luck like getting Starlog and the Doctor Who paperbacks, like the Target novelizations, the paperbacks.
Yeah.
But not all the time. Like they had to do, and I always have them like double bag it in case, God forbid, I should drop the thing or something. Somebody sees Starlog peeking out the wrapper, like what the hell is, what is that? What's Star? Like a sci-fi thing, or And so this time, there was no books, there was no Starlog magazine, but I found, because this is when bookstores would have old stock, like. You could find books in Beat Alton bookstores that were probably sitting there from 1979, sort of thing.
Yeah.
They just hadn't really shipped. Or sometimes they would reissue it when a movie would come out or something. But I found what I always wanted. I was kind of obsessed when I was a kid, amongst many things, was obsessed with Punch-Out and Make-It books.
Oh, yeah.
And then, from that led to plastic model kits and then, so on. But I used to love those books. If a book existed for a property and it was a Punch-Out and Make-It thing, oh, man, I just loved those things. I loved, doing it. I loved the finished product. And I remember seeing the Star Wars Punch-Out and Make-It book. I remember seeing it when the movie came out, but never got it. I don't know why, or saw it once and then didn't know how to track it down, whatever, but I found a copy at Beat Alton. Now, I'm like 11 or 12, probably at 12. And again, nothing wrong with a 12-year-old, I suppose, getting like a Punch-Out and Make-It book. It's like, that's about the age, But I got this thing, and I got it, and I'm walking around it in the wrapper, and I ran into this girl, like a junior high girl or somebody, and of course, the conversation finally, what'd you get? Oh, what do you got in the bag? And I just remember being like I was caught cheating on a test or cheating on a woman. I just froze. Like, oh, it's nothing. It's just nothing. It's like, well, no, it's nothing.
Let me throw it out.
So, hey, so what have you been doing this summer? And then eventually it's like, I'm not going to get out of here if I don't pull this thing out of the bag and show her what this thing is. And then when I finally did, I kind of just played it up. Oh, I picked this up, this up. And I remember her looking at it going, oh, really? Oh, that's really? Isn't that a little, that's kind of young. Isn't that kind of young for you? It's kind of, or something like that. Kind of taking a shot. And I immediately pivoted and I'm like, oh, it's not for me. No, it's not for me. It's a gift. I have a cousin who's younger. And I had this when I was a kid, so... but I mean, you could see the sweat pouring off my brow and the quivering in my upper lip and just being red and clearly looked like I was lying.
Yeah.
But yeah. That was one of those, it doesn't seem like much now, but at the time I might as well have been ostracized from the
community. You know what? I have the exact same story. Not with a girl though. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But in grade 9, there was a kid, I didn't get, what happened was in grade 9, my best friend growing up next door to me, his parents divorced when we were in the 8th grade, and he moved away. And the last thing he ever said to me when he got on his bike to leave was, see you at high school. So I was going to transfer out of Catholic school and go to public high school and hang around with him, which really was strange.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a lot of friends in grade 8, so it was kind of a dumb move, but you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, literally, this guy was my best friend from age 2 to 13. So,
mm-hmm.
it made sense. So I get to this public high school where, 99% of my friends did not go. And I start asking her, hey, guys, have you seen Neil? Do you know Neil? And they're like, yeah, Neil went to trade school. He got on the bus this morning. And So I was basically, I knew like three kids in my high school.
Oh, you were, that was it. You're on your own.
Oh boy. And those three kids were like people that I knew to nod in the hall at grade school with, you know, and
nobody with
any sort of connection whatsoever. So yeah, it was like Lonely Island for at least the first 6 months. So I tried to fit in and with varying results and, you know, I'm kind of happy I did that in life because it was adversity and I, you know, I kind of made my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I eventually really loved high school, but that first...
Lemonade.
Yeah, that first 6 months was rough. So much so that another kid from my grade school thought, I can throw Brian under the bus and make myself look better. And he found out about 4 months in that Brian can really fight. And but that's another story. And he transferred out of high schools after that because I beat him up in front of all these people. But what happened to me was there was this kid, and I wouldn't say it was picking on me. Well, he was, but it wasn't physical because he was smaller than me, and but he had some big friends. And in gym class, he would always – you know how you carried your gym bag around and it became your catch-all? It had your books in it and all your stuff.
Yep.
He would go through mine in front of me sometimes. And I'll never forget. Well, he was a dick. He pulled out a Doctor Who Information Network pamphlet that had a big drawing of Colin Baker on it. And he's like, what's this? And I remember going,
uh-oh.
That's the Doctor Who information. And you got to understand, at that time, I didn't like Colin Baker. I was barely hanging on to liking Doctor Who at that time.
Right.
And then to have to justify its existence to this guy. I don't think I watched Doctor Who for 2 years after that. Just because I really wasn't.
Wow.
Like, you know, it was, he was wearing that stupid outfit. And I just remember thinking, I don't want to defend this. I'm not even all that on board anymore. But the
God, worst... That's so, that,
what's that?
That is the eeriest thing. It's the perfect way to say what I was thinking at the same time.
Yeah.
I can no longer, when it was Tom Baker and Bette Davison, I could just, if someone was, why are you still watching that? I could defend it.
Yeah.
I could go, but it got to a point where you're right. I didn't want to have to defend it anymore. Like,
yeah.
It was ridiculous. Yeah.
And then.
So what happened? So you said,
you know what? They teased me about liking the show for a couple weeks and it went away. And I was okay with that. But the worst one was, and you'll get this, you know, I started to kind of, like, you know, you're not quite a, I was still interested in toys. And I did end up eventually starting to collect them when I was about 15 or 16. But at this point, you know, I didn't have any toys anymore. And so I came one day from school, my mom picked me up and went to the mall. I'm sure we did the separate ways thing you just described. And I'm walking in the Hudson's Bay, which is my mom's go-to store at the time. And I walk into an end cap of Kenner Superpowers. Never seen them before. They're brand new. This is 1984 fall. And I always wanted a Flash action figure. You know, the Flash was one of my favorite characters as a kid. There it is.
Right.
And the Kenner Superpowers Flash figure is easily one of the most perfect action figures ever.
And yeah, it's pretty cool.
I bought it before I knew what to do with it. You know what I mean? Like, I had it in my pocket, and then I'm pretty sure I tore the package up, and I put the figure on a shelf and didn't do anything with it, which is what I do all the time now. But it was a really weird thing, because it's like, why did I buy this? You know? But I left the little the giveaway comic in my bag.
Uh-oh.
And this Sandy kid found it. And I remember him, like, I was sitting there writing something in a class, and he goes, hey, man, this shit's for five-year-olds. And, he, you know, he did it in front of the class to embarrass me.
And you killed him.
No, you know what? This is the funniest story. I'm going to grab my bus. We're the only two people in the hall. And, yeah, I started to push him down. Like, yeah, you gonna make fun of me now? You gonna make fun of me? And... he had this amazing, because we were about the same size, but I could have clearly thumped him.
Right.
He had this amazing, I have to admit, I still, I think of this. he just kept going, "That's okay, man. No, it's okay. We don't have to do this. It's okay." And he talked me out of
Yeah, and it's like, but you know what? Maybe that's what he needed. Maybe that's what this guy needed, like, is a bop in the nose.
Yeah.
You really want to do this? You know? And it's funny because, I'm not going to get detailed about it, but I've certainly dealt with something similar. Even to this day, as a grown man on a job, a production job, you're the funniest person in the room, or if you're, getting praised for, whatever it was, but it still happens.
Yeah.
Where somebody wants to pull something and go, "Oh, well, that's because you did the," but frankly, unless I know somebody with good natured ribbing going like, "Is that because you did the thing?" Like when you've got that good natured ribbing thing with people, like, that's good. I have never, from the time I was a kid, I have never pointed at some kid and gone, "I can't believe you're wearing that shirt," or "Why did you do?" Like, I was never that kid. I never did it. I never felt the need to do it or whatever. And to this day, and I'm not, a tough guy, but I mean, I'm not saying that you're a tough guy. I'm saying that are a big.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying you're a big, tall guy. So,
At this point in my life, I'm 5'2", and I'm 89 pounds. So,
I know what I'm saying. Saying at this point, as adult, it's like it's still extraordinary that these things happen. And so we can't always solve problems by going, "Come here, asshole," and wanting to push them downstairs. But I do it verbally and go, I've pulled people aside and said, "I know what you're doing."
Yeah.
I mean, I can see what you're doing, and I'm going to let you off with a warning right now. Like, right now, I'm being very good natured and I'm trying to rib you back, or kind of throw something back. But if you want to, if you want to keep going with this, I will slaughter you verbally, and it'll be in front of people, and you're not going to like it. And 9 times out of 10, it gets, "Oh, dude, come on. I was just like, it's like, no. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. It's no different than the eighth grade. But the difference now is that, if I take the gloves off, unfortunately, because I'm pretty sharp and can go for the jugular if I have to, it's going to get ugly." And that is what that was. Like, now this kid pulls it, and you want to go, "Come on, asshole." And,
I give him credit for going. What's funny about that is
you need to put your mouth in the first place.
Yeah, it never got very physical. I just was pushing him, trying to get him to take a swing or, And he just, he was just like, Gandhi about it, he just wouldn't, and it's like, I can't hit somebody who isn't into it, like, some people can do that, but my brain doesn't work that way. So he gave up, and what was really great about it was it was never a thing for 5 more years of high school. Like, I sat next to him in class, and we got along. In fact, the last time I saw him, he was super happy to see me. This, post college, but it was just a weird thing where he was really centering me out, and it may have been because everybody's looking for somebody to capitalize on when they feel odd man out. But
again, it's the whole let's all understand we were all insecure at the time, and we all wanted to try to do this. It's like no. You and I, but I don't care if his dad was a jerk to him. Yeah. Bullshit. I hate. I give I'm picturing this in my head, him pulling at this thing, not even minding his own business, he pulls it out and then wants to make a point. It'd be bad enough if he turned to you privately and goes, "Hey, dude, this stuff's for 5-year-olds that would be insulting enough, but to do it in front of the room, these people that do that, they know exactly what they're doing.
And
there is something to it, being, I had another one now, but mine are much more like embarrassing, like, "Oh God, I had to lie my way out of that thing," or whatever, than these things you're talking about. And I had another one, but now I lost it because I got worked up over the story.
I got another one that is kind of just more complex.
All right, you do another one, and then we'll wrap up the mini, and we'll do our big juicy one.
Now, I've told this one on the blog before, but it's just worth telling. I'm turned about 15, 16, and I'm now collecting vintage toys. So I'm going around to old stores, comic stores, antique malls, trying to find this stuff. I have a couple friends who know I'm into it. but I am keeping this way, way on the QT because you know, I don't need to broadcast to the world that I do this. Now I don't care, but back then, you know, it could affect your reputation, you know.
I kept some of my stuff quiet. Yeah. You know, so, got to like the 80s and I started up again, you know.
It's March break and I'm going downtown. This is probably the same situation as your mall. It's not the good mall. It's not the Scarborough Town Center. It's the, for me, it was the Oshawa Center, which is, you know, the close mall. But I'm going downtown to this because there's a couple of comic book stores downtown. And comic book stores back in the day, remember, they would get old toys in occasionally. So I walked down to what was a store called Unicorn Comics, run by it's changed names, but the owner is still a good friend of mine, and I did karate with him in the 90s. He's a really, really decent guy. But the plan was to go downtown, then I'd walk back to the Oshawa Center, and my mom would pick me up at around the end of the day, you know, five or six. She'd get home from work.
Okay,
so. You know, this is pre-cell phone, you're right. So it's all preordained times. So it's 10:30 in the morning. I walk in Unicorn Comics. What's in the window? But a Shogun Warriors Guy King. Loose.
Nice.
Perfect. And I have a real Shogun Warriors thing, right? Because I didn't have any as a kid. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first things that started getting me to go to old yard sales and stuff. It's like, I can buy all the Shogun Warriors. So I ask him how much it is. It's $15. So I immediately buy it.
Wow.
Doctor Who Monthly or whatever the hell else I was buying at the time. Doctor Who Monthly, unless it had a picture of, because it had a Colin Baker on the cover. But
you're like, so I'll get the next one.
Tim, the owner, goes, let me see if I have a bag for you. Because it's winter and I got to carry this all across town. He hands me a clear garbage bag.
Oh no!
Yeah, so I
no. It's like, you have anything else?
No, he has nothing, and I don't have enough money to go buy like a pack of garbage bags or go buy something else. So I'm carrying this thing down side streets and you know, it's like where they haven't plowed the roads yet, or you know, just because I don't want to get spotted. And
it's like the baton death march.
Oh. Yeah, it may as well be a hat. Home. And, you know, the hat with the two beer cans on it. And it just, I don't know what to do because the mall is also going to be loaded with kids my age from my school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is career suicide. So I say, I wander out through back roads. I think I hung out in a Wendy's for a while. putting my coat over the Shogun Warrior
for a week,
yeah,
trying to get home,
yeah, whatever, you know, my $3 would buy. And I hung out in the automotive department and of Sears until I saw my mom's car. And
God.
Of course, I think she wanted to do some shopping, and I was like, no, we're going right back to your car. I have to get rid of this.
You know? My God,
it was no picnic explaining to her why I had it. So,
you know, it's similar. You know, it's not quite the same thing, but this just occurred to me. Maybe this is my like second little story with like that after Return of the Jedi came out. Now you got to remember, like I was 12 when Jedi came out.
Me too.
Soon to be 13. It was right at the end of eighth grade.
Yeah.
And I remember going with some kids from class, but there was also a kid in class that over the past couple of years, we would talk Star Wars stuff. And this kid, and I might have talked about this kid before, but if you put this kid in a Revenge of the Nerds type movie, it you know, if you took one of those characters from one of those movies, it still wouldn't be far enough for this kid. Oof. Like in 82... His corduroys were about 3 inches above his ankle, you know, because we went to a Catholic junior high too, and like his top button of his little polo was always buttoned, and he sort of talked like this. He'd say, "So I was wondering if maybe the Darth Vader is not his father." I mean, that's how this kid talked, and he was a sweet kid, but he just was I mean, I always looked at him and thought, you know, he's either going to murder his family before he's 20 or he's going to be a computer whiz or something.
Yeah.
And there were times where he'd come over and want to talk about Return of the Jedi, and I was never mean, but it was like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, it could be, you know. Like, I'd roll my eyes, kind of humor him for the other girls in the class. I thought, I don't want people thinking that I'm into this stuff like he is. I mean, that's how you start to feel at a certain age, even though this stuff was mainstream. But
yeah,
when the movie came out in 83, and I saw it, like, I started to get, you know, even though I hadn't done much between Empire and Jedi as far as action figures went, mainly because of the scar tissue built up because of Empire, because I really, you know, how much trouble I had with that movie, that now Jedi's coming, I think, oh, finally, Han Solo's coming back and I can breathe. Then I started to get, I got that first series of characters that came out, like, you know, Riis and, you know, the Imperial, Emperor's Royal Guard and Luke in the Jedi outfit, like that first wave, I got them all, you know, and a couple other things. And I had them in the living room in like a little tin, like a little coffee tin kind of thing, or tea tin. I kept them in there and kept them under the table. But then, oh, there's the comics adaptation. There's the magazine. There's the book on tape. You know, all that shit was there. That was because it was summertime. Now it's getting hot. We had air conditioning downstairs. That's where I spent most of my time. And there was some family brunch thing that we had to go to that a couple cousins were at. And we suddenly my mom goes, why don't you all come back to the house and we'll have a thing? And I went, I have to get into the house to move this stuff before they get there. And
is good practice for when you're a teenager.
It's true. The height shit. It's true. Yeah. And so I had to push her to, like, we have to leave now. If we're going to do this, we have to go now.
Yeah.
Like, we have to leave the restaurant now to get back there, because I know that, you know, I got to hide this stuff before the end. Like, we pulled the car up to the driveway, and I jumped out just as, like, the next family car was pulling up behind us.
Yeah.
And I ran inside, scooped everything up, brought it to my room, and, you know, that was it. And, like, nobody was the wiser. But that's the kind of stuff we had to go through to...
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
You and I have a lot of similar Doctor Who stories.
Yeah, Doctor Who.
Like we've said many times, that's the one you didn't tell anybody about.
Whenever I'm at a show and I sell something Doctor Who to a beautiful 20-year-old girl, or, you know, 20-year-old girl, I sit there and go, the world has changed. You know?
Yeah, I sit there. I did this, you know, a couple years ago at Comic-Con. I had all, you know, did all these was PR and interviews for Biff Bang Pow and stuff, and so many young women not just walking around Comic-Con but coming to interview. And I'd say, you know, if I saw you at a show back in 84, 85, I would think you walked into the wrong convention or something.
Yeah.
Like, you just, I'm grateful for it, but I'd be lying if I'd said, you know, there's not a bit of bitterness there as well, going, where the hell were you back then? Because you barely told people. You certainly didn't tell the opposite sex that you were like, guess what I read in the new issue of Fangoria? Like, you did not have those conversations with females. I'm saying it as a man. It just, you just didn't. Well, there you go. I'm sure we've got many, many, many more of
these. Yeah, this could be a part one, and I hope it wasn't too brutal or boring, but I just thought it was kind of a fun topic and hopefully relatable.
Yes, and we thought we'd kind of test the waters with it, as opposed to, oh, I finally saw this great movie or something, and see what you guys think, and also if you guys, you know, have stuff to share yourselves, as you tend to do on the Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us some of your little stories. That'd be great.
It's cathartic.
Let's share in the misery.
All right. And we'll see you. That's great, guys. We'll see you in 30 days or at the bike racks at 3:30.
Don't tell anyone. Thanks.